And into whatsoever house thou shouldst enter, first say, peace be to this house. That's the words in today's gospel. And it's actually the words that the priest who goes on a sick call and brings Holy Communion to the sick says as soon as he enters into the house or the bedroom of the sick person. It's actually in the rubrics that the priest should say those very words of the gospel that he tells his missionaries who are going out two by two that he mentions in the gospel to say on entering into any home at all. Peace be to this house. And that's really the whole purpose of evangelizing and spreading the gospel of our blessed Lord, isn't it? It's the peace of Christ, the peace of Christ in the soul. And today we have two very great missionaries who were missionaries not in the Western Church. The Western Church is what we call the Roman Church, what we would belong to. And the Eastern Church is, well, it's over in the Orient. And all of the Eastern Rite, it's all Catholic, but at the same time, two different rites. And they were two great saints of the Eastern Rite Church. And they were actually they converted the Slavs, Slavonian people, which, by the way, Father Jakata, it comes from that. He has blood from the Slovakia, I believe it is. And so perhaps it is because of saints like these that his family received the faith. But in any case, Saints Cyril and Methodius were both brothers, and they were born of noble parents. When they were old enough, they were sent to the capital of the East, a very important city of Constantinople, to receive their education. And they were very, very intelligent young men, but particularly Cyril. And I'm not sure on this part, but I think he was the younger of the two brothers. But in any case, he was especially intelligent, and he was known, St. Cyril was, as the philosopher. And after they had finished all of their schooling, their education, St. Methodius became a monk, but Cyril, he made such an impression on the Empress Theodora that actually he was asked by her to train some people in the faith, to educate them and to evangelize them. And so he did. He went out to preach the gospel, and these people were so well trained, they took to the faith so well that they gave up all of their superstitious practices and held very firmly to the Christian, the Catholic faith. And so then after that, he returned back to Constantinople, and he entered the monastery at this point, same monastery that his brother, St. Methodius, was living in. But then, not long after that, St. Cyril's, his success in the missions became very well known, very popular. And so he was asked to do some missionary labors along with his brother. And so that together they went to Moravia, and there they again worked on converting the people. And they were so zealous in this work that they were doing that again they converted the entire people, the entire nation. And the conversion, they say, was due partly to Cyril's knowledge. That is, he had such a grasp on the Slavic language. And also, they say that he translated both the Old and the New Testament into their language. And just as a sort of passing note also, these two saints actually invented the alphabet of the language of the Slavs, the Slavic people. So they're credited with actually inventing their language pretty much. And so they truly did a lot of good work, even in the temporal affair of things. But it was an instrument in which to bring the Slavic people to Almighty God. So, but after all of their work there, they were then called to back to Rome by the Pope. I think it was Pope Nicholas I. Then they were called back, and in the meantime, Pope Nicholas had died, and his successor then met these two saints. These two saints were bringing back, when they were on their pilgrimage to Rome, they brought with them the relics of St. Clement I as well. And so the Pope of Rome, he then came out in solemn procession with clergy and laity to greet these holy relics. And then St. Cyril and Methodius began telling the Pope all about their labors in these different countries, trying to evangelize people. Well, they were accused, as all saints eventually someday will be. They all seem to be accused falsely in many cases, other times accused of some things that they did do, but that weren't wrong at all in the first place. Well, our saints of today were accused by some people of using the Slavic language in their liturgical practices, the different rituals and ceremonies that they did. And they actually did. They used the Slavic language. But when they explained this, their reasons to the Pope, it was, they had such solid reasons that they actually convinced the Pope that they were right and won the Pope to their side. And so they truly did have good and weighty reasons. And eventually they were consecrated bishops, these two brothers, and continued with their labors. But so as not to keep this sermon too long, I think it's an interesting point. When we look at our two saints of today, we see on the one hand that they were both monks, locked up in a monastery, praying, all by themselves, and with no one but the other brother monks, themselves, and Almighty God. And then they were chosen to be missionaries, then to leave their monastery, to go out into the world and be among all these different people, and to win them to God. It's a very interesting thing. And there is actually a saying that to be a good missionary, you have first to be a good monk. In other words, it's not all about, when you're out there trying to convert people, it's not all about personality or how much knowledge you have or the things that you say. All of those things help. They have their place. But no, you have to be, first of all, a good monk or a good nun. Even if you're a lay person, you have to have the spirit of a religious. If you're going to go out and convert anyone, it all starts, whenever you want to convert someone, it all starts on your knees. Nowhere else. Forget about it. If you're approaching it from any other angle, you will find it very difficult to convert anyone. It starts on the knees, praying to Almighty God, because God alone, He knows the heart of the person you're trying to convert. He knows just how to move them, what to send them, whether it be a cross, whether it be a joy, whether it be a friend, whether it be an enemy, whether it be this, that, or the other thing. He knows just what to send them and at precisely the right time at which to send it to move their will and their intellect by His actual graces to accept and embrace the truth and then to live the truth. God knows it all. We don't. We tend to think, well, it's all about how much we can do and go out and preach and throw in pamphlets and everything else. Again, those are good and useful. But start on your knees and asking for the grace of conversion for your relatives and your friends and your enemies too. Remember that God even wants the conversion of the people like the Islamic people go around blowing themselves and other people up. He wants their conversion. Who in this world is going to be praying for them, if not you? The Sacred Heart loves those people. He loves the Jews. Not their religion, but them as people, as souls He loves them, and he goes out in search of them. So then, be an instrument of the Sacred Heart, of the precious blood of Jesus, good missionaries too, and begin praying tonight before our Lord in the tabernacle for conversions, conversions of souls. You don't even have to have anyone named in particular. There might be someone tonight that you might convert in Africa that you've never heard of, or in China or Japan or Argentina. And it might be due to one single prayer that you say on your knees tonight here at St. Hugh of Lincoln before the monstrance, before our Lord exposed in the monstrance on top of the tabernacle. So think of that today and be good missionaries, just like Saints Cyril and Methodius. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.